Committee on Health Policy to order. And today we have a series of bills over from the Senate that deal with various things in the naturopathic world. And what I'm planning to do is we're going to open up all the bills at once, and I see several people are here to testify pretty much for all of them. So we'll do them all together. That seems to be the easiest thing. And I don't think we'll do any summaries of the bills, because I think some of them are very straightforward.
Yep.
So with that, I will open a public hearing on Senate Bill 205, 206, 207, 208A, 209, and 620. Public hearing on all those. And
okay.
We'll see who we have on the list. There is one bill, I believe it's Senate Bill 207, where we have an amendment. I want to make sure we leave a little time for that, but so is someone here from the Naturopathic Association or from the board?
Both.
Okay, why don't you come on down, please?
207.
And on 207, we'll cover all the bills first, and then we'll go specifically to the issues on 207, if that's all right with folks.
Okay.
Okay.
So,
yeah.
Starting with 205.
Mm-hmm. That would be great. And welcome, and
Thank you.
Get yourself settled.
Yeah. Hi, Madam Chair, members of the committee. I'm Dr. Kevin Wilson. I'm the legislative chair for the Oregon Association of Naturopathic Physicians. I'm a past chair of the Oregon Board of Naturopathic Examiners, and I'm here just in lieu of the chair, who was unable to be here, and Ann Walsh, who was unable to be here, as well as the executive director. So, excuse me, I was just handed a pile of envelopes. I need to get them to you.
Okay.
They're all labeled.
Well, maybe while you're getting ready, Sandy, if you just want to run us briefly.
Sure, since we have some time.
Yeah.
Quickly, Madam Chair, members of the subcommittee, Senate Bill 205 modifies the examination requirements for licensure by the Oregon Board of Naturopathic Examiners to require all applicants to successfully pass the basic science and the core clinical science examinations administered by the National Board of Naturopathic Examiners. And it does some other items for the board to waive the basic science examination if the licensee has passed another exam deemed comparable by the board. This left the Senate floor with votes with 27 ayes and 3 excused. That's at the bottom of your SMS. And it looks like he's ready, so we'll let him continue.
Okay.
Thank you.
Mr. Wilson.
As I understand this bill, it's just a matter of expediency for the board to make it easier to administer the exam. It doesn't really change the requirements for knowledge or skills in any particular academic subject area, but just defers to the agency that administers the exam for the National Exam Association. Does that make sense?
And any questions on this? I was going to say you can just go through all of them unless people should jump in with questions.
Okay, well, I'm sorry. I don't actually have them all right in front of me.
Oh.
So if we could remind me of them as number by number.
One of our.
Do you want to
call?
Thank you.
Aaron, you want to give them?
And colleagues, you'll notice you should have in your folders, looks like a letter in most of the files here from Ann Walsh, Executive Director of the Board of Naturopathic Examiners. Most of these, I think all of these were submitted on behalf of the board?
Correct.
I believe so?
Correct.
That's quite right. And just so you know, we have to be back on the floor at 4, so that's why I'm trying
okay.
to...
Okay, I won't elaborate.
It's not to rush you, I'm just... Thank you.
So for 205, I've already commented on that one.
May I ask a question?
Yes, Representative Greenlee.
This talks about allowing you to waive the basic science, which I guess is the national board, if licensee has passed an other exam being comparable. Are there other exams that are comparable? I think that's the heart of this bill.
Yes. As far as I know, there's no other exam other than the NCLEX exam. A different state, Arizona, for example, may have a different basic science exam if someone's coming here with a sense of reciprocity trying to get licensed here, but they're really comparable nationwide now, and including Canada. So.
Thank you.
You're welcome. 206.
Okay, 206.
More sciences.
More sciences.
And Sandy, I don't know if you want to do a summary.
Your call.
Yes, why don't you?
Senate Bill 206 requires that the examination for licensure as a naturopathic physician include sections on basic sciences and clinical sciences and other subjects required by the Board of Naturopathic Examiners by rule. It prohibits the board from requiring licensees to study major surgery, requires that applicants for licensure are filed with the board no less than 20 days before the exam, and it requires the board to appoint an executive director and requires that executive director to issue renewal notices each year by November 1. So this bill, in addition to some science requirement, has some administrative language in it also. Again, this left the Senate floor with 26 ayes, 2 noes, and 2 excused. No fiscal or revenue impact on the original bill.
Madam Chair and members of the committee, I believe that really the gist of this was to change the title of our executive secretary to executive director, for one thing, for Ann Walsh's position, which is at the very end of the bill. And otherwise, I really am not sure, other than the license renewal notice notification, and that the applicant for the exam has to have it in a timely manner that sets the time frame before they could sit for the exam.
Question? Yes, Representative Bonamici.
Thank you. Dr. Wilson, I have a question about the new language on the first page. It's lines 22 and 23 where it says the board may not include major surgery as a required area of study.
Yes.
And is that because naturopathic physicians don't do major surgery? Is that the reason for that?
Senator Bonamici, I believe you're absolutely right. We are not licensed to do major surgery, so there's no way that, you know, it could be required. I don't know how that came to be an issue, frankly, but it is definitely excluded in our licensure at this time.
Thank you.
I don't know of any interest in moving in that direction either.
You screwed on line 20. We just deleted it there and moved it down.
Right.
I'm
curious about why.
But minor surgery.
Except yes, we do minor surgery.
And you might not know the answer to the question, but someone else might. Do we know why there were 2 no votes on the Senate side on this? We don't? Okay. It looks like cleanup, trying to not specifically putting every type of science, but these seem to apply back to science in general that's already covered by the exams.
Right.
That's my impression. Okay. Sandy, how about 207? And everyone, we're just doing a public hearing today, so we'll have time to come back. Session on this, so if you miss something, we'll come back.
207 authorizes the Board of Naturopathic Examiners to contract for services for impaired naturopathic physicians. It allows the boards to refer impaired naturopathic physicians to diversion programs approved by the board in addition to or instead of other disciplinary sanctions that the board is authorized to impose. It allows the board to require a person to undergo certain evaluations when the board has reasonable grounds to believe the person is or may be unable to practice naturopathic medicine with reasonable skill and safety. Again, this left the Senate floor with 23 ayes, 4 noes, and 3 excused. There is no revenue or fiscal impact on the original bill. And as Chair Hodek mentioned, we do have a dash 1 amendment before us that somebody may be able to speak to as we continue on our discussions.
It might make, Dr. Wilson, I don't know if you wanted to say anything about this, but it might make sense at this time to bring up the other two individuals who signed up on 207. And I think it's around the language with regard to the process.
Okay.
Working with the impaired naturopath. I have a Steve Ritzberger and is it Joanna?
Katnish.
And I would say stay up there, if
yes,
you would.
Thank you.
And we'll have all three of you together. Yes, please, come on up.
Plenty of elbow room up here.
Welcome, and just identify yourself for the record and let us know what you think.
Chair Kotek and members of the Health Policy Subcommittee, I'm Steve Ritzberger. I'm the current chair of the Administrative Law Section of the Oregon State Bar. And, of course, we'd like to thank you for the privilege of being able to testify before you today. We oppose Senate Bill 207 as currently written and request that you amend it specifically with regard to the issue of compelled physical and mental evaluations, chemical dependency evaluations, and competency evaluations. We recognize that the board has an obligation to protect the public. The public protection rule requires that the board have authority to order licensees to submit to physical and mental examinations where appropriate. However, a compelled exam puts a significant hardship on an individual professional. It requires disclosure of confidential medical and personal information. It also entails considerable expense. As a result, in our view, it's authority that should be exercised with specific limits. We have proposed amendment language to Senate Bill 207 that's been drafted by Legislative Council and has been attached to our written testimony. Those amendments introduced several improvements to Senate Bill 207 in our view, and two in particular I'd like to emphasize if I could. Number one, those amendments provide an individual with a right to notice before a compelled examination can be ordered. Secondly, they also provide an individual with the ability to challenge a compelled examination by requesting an accelerated and limited hearing. These hearings could be held on a show cause basis. They could be held by telephone. And these are hearings that would be confined to just two issues, whether the board has complied with the procedural requirements necessary to have a compelled examination, and secondly, whether there's an adequate factual basis to support the requirement for a compelled evaluation. Thank you. That's the sum of my comments, Chair Kotek and committee members. And perhaps there are questions.
Other questions? Thank you, Mr. Ritzberger. Yes, Representative Bonamici.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Thank you, Mr. Ritzberger, for being here. Are analogous provisions included in other similar situations in the medical field?
There are a number of state agencies that have the ability to order compelled evaluations. And some of those occurred before we had any say in the establishment of those provisions. There are a number of health licensing agencies that are now seeking the same authority, and just as in this case, we're proposing that that authority be granted with amendments that would allow a right to advance notice as well as a right to a limited accelerated hearing.
Thank you. A follow-up?
Mm-hmm.
And are the suggestions that you're making in the Dash 1 amendments, have those been implemented in other administrative proceedings in Oregon?
In the state of Oregon, unfortunately, no, though the current chief administrative law judge for the Office of Administrative Hearings, is a member of the executive board, and we've discussed with him the likelihood of establishing a new category of hearings that they could conduct. They've indicated that they could do so at relatively inexpensive cost. They've indicated that they also could handle the additional caseload. Again, we're talking about relatively simple hearings with just a couple of issues that probably could be conducted by telephone and probably could be conducted fairly quickly.
Thank you.
Representative Greenman.
Thank you. Did you offer these amendments in the Senate?
Unfortunately, we did not, because of the speed with which the legislature has moved this year. We're not fast enough to have those amendments prepared. In fact, I think these amendments were prepared just yesterday or just finished yesterday.
A second question. This wouldn't stop an individual who's being brought up with impaired charges or something to voluntarily enter a diversion program.
No, it certainly would not. That certainly would not be our intention. And
it happens, I imagine, most often.
I don't see on its face how the language could be construed that way.
Thank you, Madam Chair.
Oh, you're welcome. I was just reading that apparently what we have in the original bill was based on what board medical examiners, similar to what they're doing now.
Could I comment?
Yes, you may. Yeah,
thank you.
Just restate your name.
Dr. Kevin Wilson, representing the Board of Examiners and the Oregon Association of Naturopathic Physicians. Madam Chair, members of the committee, when I was the past chair of the Board of Examiners, we had a case of an impaired physician that we had to take fairly urgent action with to remove him from his practice and get him in a diversion program. And we found at the time that there really wasn't adequate language in the bill. And my goal then, and I believe the board's goal now, is just a uniformity of process across all medical professions. And I think that speaks to your comment that this was trying to just mimic what the Board of Medical Examiners has done. It's simply to have clear language that the board can take action and put someone into a diversion program and have them be evaluated before that or during that process. So I don't see this as onerous, nor do I see there being much problem with the suggested amendments other than slowing up the bill and becoming finished. I think we could fix it later or something, but I can't speak for the board specifically. I'm just here to try to help clarify the situation. I think they've had some case in the not-too-distant past where they felt like they knew what to do. The AG attorney helped us, and yet they wanted it codified in the statute. So.
Thank you for that comment. And I will need to get the feedback from the board on the dash ones for sure before we come back in work session. That would be helpful. Mm-hmm. Seems like we're trying to balance two things here, clarifying the process, but due process in there. Ms. Magnich, are you the AG for the board?
For the board.
Oh, great. Would you like to comment?
Certainly, Chair Kotek, members of the committee, subcommittee. My name is Joanna Matnich. I'm the AG, and I'm counsel for the Board of Naturopathic Examiners. They have asked me to present testimony on their behalf today, although DOJ is neutral on the bill. I'm here to present the position of the board. I have not had the opportunity to review the Dash Ones and would like to have the opportunity to submit comments to the committee, subcommittee, following this hearing, if that's possible.
Absolutely.
I have heard some concerns about the processes that are provided for evaluation orders, and to some extent, the testimony I've submitted does address those concerns. The board is looking to have the same authority that's currently provided to the nursing board and the Board of Medical Examiners. It's an additional tool that will enable them to conduct investigations and get the information they need when they have reason to believe a naturopathic physician may be impaired to the extent they can't practice safely. Currently, their options are to, one, obtain the voluntary consent of a licensee to submit to evaluation, which may or may not happen, or they may go on the basis of the information they have and decide whether or not the situation merits issuance of an emergency suspension order or other discipline. So in a way, having the opportunity to submit a licensee to evaluation will really enable the licensee to provide the board with information that they can practice safely, and if that's not the case, the board will be fully informed when they proceed to discipline. There's an objective standard in the proposed language. It requires the board to have objectively reasonable grounds to proceed. It provides the naturopathic physician with the opportunity in privacy to demonstrate competency to the board, because evaluation orders are not public orders, whereas emergency suspension orders, notices of discipline, do become public orders. So if there's any concerns, it can be resolved at the investigative level. And for that reason, the board's interest in keeping things resolved in the investigative process without additional levels of review, they would prefer to leave the legal challenge to an evaluation order as it would be under the current language of the bill. Any legal challenge by a licensee would be a challenge to an order and other than a contested case under 183.484 of the Administrative Procedures Act. In that case, a licensee could seek a stay before an order could take effect if there weren't valid grounds for the order. But the board would like to avoid the expense of and extra time that would be involved in creating a double hearing process if an evaluation order were to be challenged, even an administrative hearing that was limited. If it proceeded to discipline, then again, the licensee would have the chance to have another contested case to challenge discipline, and the board's looking to avoid the expense of that process. If there's any other questions, I'd be happy to answer them.
Well, thank you for the thorough rundown of what we're doing here, and I would love to see your comments on the dash one as well, when you get a chance to do that. Questions?
Thank you.
Yes, Representative Greenland.
Thank you.
Is objectively reasonable a term of art? Is that defined?
And just to clarify, that's line 27 on the original bill.
And on the
line 7 in the amendments as well.
Through Chair Kotick, Representative Greenlick, I'm not aware that it's a term of art. I think it's somewhat similar to the phrase that
will the court know what objectively reasonable means?
I think a court would apply the common meaning of what that term means in determining whether the board had properly issued an order.
Yeah. What is the common meaning?
Representative Greenlick, Chairman Kotek, the phrase objectively reasonable grounds not just sounds circular, but I think it means the board needs to have evidence that would lead a reasonable person to believe that a naturopathic physician is unable to practice reasonably, safely, due to some impairment. I can't quantify that in terms of percentage of evidence, but simply that they have reasonable grounds for that belief.
You don't want to try, huh?
That sounds like a reasonable explanation. Do we know why there were, did I ask this already, the four no votes on this bill? Still no reason. Okay.
Madam Chair.
Yes,
if I could offer for the record, and not to cast aspersions or do anything negatively or say anything negative about our Oregon Senate, but apparently they have a contest that has come to mind. I don't know if it necessarily falls on these bills, but there is. I've heard rumors that there is a contest to see who emerges with the most no votes. And so on bills that are non-controversial, you're still going to see a number of no votes. I'm not defending that. I'm not saying it is absolute fact. I'm saying that is the rumor mill for the record.
Thank you for supplying that additional information. Okay. Any other questions on 207 and the amendment? We will look forward to your feedback on the dash ones. We do need to hear from the
Would you be speaking on behalf of the board then?
Simply the board, yes.
Okay, thank you. And we'll get back to that amendment on 207. So why don't we move on to the next bill? Thank you so much. Unless, I think you were just here for 207. Is that correct?
That's correct.
Thank you for being here.
It might also be interesting to hear from the association. Because this is some added protection. I think it's intended to be added protection.
Well, Representative Greenlee, thank you for the question. The association is really not in the realm of disciplinary actions. We're there to promote the profession in the state, so we're at a different cause than the Board of Examiners, although we like to think we work together nicely. So I don't think the association really has much comment about this. As having been in both camps, I think that a fully empowered board is to the advantage of not only the public of Oregon, but to the profession. So I'm all for it, and I can't see any negative impact.
Thank you, Madam Chair.
Thank you. So that would move us on to Senate Bill 208. This did have some level of amendment on the Senate side.
Yes, Madam Chair, you're correct. It comes to us enrolled. It allows the Board of Naturopathic Examiners to place limitations on the license of a naturopathic practitioner as requested by an applicant or a licensee. It prohibits the Board, BNE, from issuing a limited license to licensees under investigation, on probation, or whose license is under suspension. It exempts naturopathic physicians licensed in other jurisdictions from licensure requirements under certain conditions. Again, this has no fiscal or revenue impact on the engrossed as we see it before us. Senate votes were 29 ayes and 1 no.
Thank you. Dr. Wilson, any comments on this? I'm reading Ann Walsh's letter here, and
yes,
honestly, it doesn't make much sense to me.
Yes, Madam Chair, members of the committee. I was at the Senate work session and hearing on this, and everybody seemed to think it was fairly straightforward, but Senator Berger brought up a point that she felt concerned that, let me preface this with an explanation. This was brought up with a physician who was blind who asked to have some written limitations on her practice. I believe it was a woman. Just to have it clear that because she was blind, she couldn't do certain kinds of examinations or certain procedures that she was licensed to do, but wanted to just have a clarification of that she was limiting herself voluntarily. And that seemed fairly straightforward. But Senator Verger thought, there is a little bit of a window of possibility that someone who was under a disciplinary action or under investigation could, as a means of avoiding discipline, say, okay, I'm gonna limit myself and maybe I'll avoid this whole process. And Senator Verger wanted it just clear that the board wouldn't allow that. If there had been a disciplinary hearing and an action in process and an investigation, that someone couldn't pull the plug on it by just saying, okay, I won't do that anymore. And that was the main gist of the amendments from the Senate.
That was good. Okay.
The other minor parts of it, I believe, were partially to let visiting physicians be able to teach a procedure that they're licensed to do, that we're licensed to do, but come into the state and do some educational purpose, whether it's at the school or a seminar, for a brief period of time and not have to go through an entire licensing procedure just for that brief window of time if they were licensed in another jurisdiction. Jurisdiction.
Thank you. Questions?
I think we did something like that in this session for the BME.
Oh, in terms of the?
In terms of the instruction.
The exemption for instruction.
Separate license for instruction. I think you did.
We see a lot of that because we have a school here that people come from other states.
Yes, I think it's true, and I teach seminars. I go to Arizona and have the same allowance there that I can be there for a weekend and teach a seminar and show a particular injection procedure or something and not be violating their statute. So.
Sounds straightforward. Comments or questions on 208? Moving along. 209. I'm kind of wondering why these weren't on one bill.
Single bill.
Yeah.
That's okay.
Once again, Madam Chair, members of the committee, Senate Bill 209 modifies educational requirements for two members of the Council on the Naturopathic Physicians Formulary. Again, no fiscal revenue on the bill as we have it before us. Senate vote was 26 ayes, 2 noes, and 2 excused. And then we also have some written testimony from the board.
Dr. Wilson?
Madam Chair, members of the committee, I also happen to be the chairman of the Formulary Council for the Board of Naturopathic Examiners, so this is near and dear to my heart. We have had a hard time fully occupying the Formulary Council because of the restrictions on the types of professionals who could fill the slots. And the crux of this really is that there are no pharmacognosists anymore. They are an extinct profession.
Dried roots and rhizomes.
Right. Smell, taste, touch, feel, you know, all the...
the worst class I ever took.
And we originally had one person, but he's now a real estate agent and doesn't want to even talk to us anymore. And it was sort of a silly, antiquated idea to begin with. So all we're asking is that those advanced degrees in pharmacology be pharmacologists rather than a pharmacognosist and a pharmacologist. And indeed, we have some great representatives now from OSU sitting on the council, and it works great, and they're very helpful. And it's nice to think that we can have the council completely occupied rather than waiting for some phantom.
Well, that makes complete sense. And I know you already have, as you mentioned, you have pharmacists, so well, we can talk about this later. I've seen this pharmacognosy several times.
Pharmacognosy is about herbs and roots and light plants. It's the natural products.
Well, actually, Madam Chair, Representative Greenlick, in the old world of pharmacy, their pharmacognosy was actually being able to identify the crude drug, which was a plant substance, and identify it by whether it was actually taste, smell, touch, or appearance, or chemistry. But it included all of those things, and it's really ancient science that isn't really done anymore. If you have echinacea or golden seal or something, you can just do a chemical assay of it now, and it doesn't depend on someone's senses. So, although I go back far enough that we were taught pharmacognosy.
It's a form of botany, actually.
A form of what?
Botany.
Botany. Oh. Came out of botany. And, Chair, I would like to ask a question, though, about... I mean, it seems to me pharmacology makes a lot of sense, and rather than having that, this talks about members who hold an advanced degree in a medical or pharmaceutical science. Medical sciences.
Well, the composition of the Formulary Council includes 2 pharmacists, a medical doctor, 2 naturopathic doctors, one of whom is a representative from the Board of Examiners, and a pharmacognosist and a pharmacologist. Now we're hoping to have it just be that. So I think that's what they're addressing.
And we'll now say 2 additional members appointed by the council hold an advanced degree in a medical or pharmaceutical science. That's on line 17 in the first page of the bill.
I'm not sure what to say about that, actually, Representative Greenlee. It seems to me that the council is fairly well described, with starting up on line 8. One member of the board is a naturopathic physician, 1 naturopathic physician, 2 pharmacists, 1 physician by the BME. So I guess we're leaving it open, or the board is asking to leave it open, that it's not necessarily a pharmacologist, but a doctor of pharmacy, or, you know, I think that may be what they mean. Or I suppose it's possible that we could have another medical doctor or another naturopathic doctor, but having sat on the council, all we wanted was pharmacologists rather than a pharmacologist and a pharmacognosist. So that may not be a necessary phrase. But I know of no intent to have other medical professionals there at this time.
Well, we could ask...
Well, Ann Walsh.
Ann Walsh.
Or Dr. Marinelli, who's the chair of the OBNN.
Right. And for the record, and just so everyone, so we note this, we did receive a letter from Dr. Marinelli, who is the chair of the Board of Naturopathic Examiners, on each of the bills. Expressing support, so we all have those for the record on 205, 6, 7, 8, 9. Well, we can check in and see if there was, if they want a little more open-endedness there. But
yeah, I don't know what else to say about it. Thank you.
Thank you, Dr. Wilson. Mm-hmm. And that brings us on to Senate Bill 620. I opened all of them, so yeah, we're still good to go.
The same.
That's right.
Sure.
And I think, Mr. Donovan, you were the other person who wanted to testify on this. Sandy, you want a quick summary of this one?
Senate Bill 620 defines naturopathic physician. It expands the definition of the physician used by the Department of Transportation to include naturopathic physicians, specifies that naturopathic physicians can submit reports to the state health officer regarding the abilities of a person with a mental or physical condition or impairment of to safely operate a motor vehicle. This has no revenue or fiscal impact on the bill in its current version. Senate floor vote were 26 ayes, 2 noes, and 2 excused.
So, Dr. Wilson or Mr. Donovan, whoever wants to go first.
We'll take him off the hot seat for just a moment.
You're doing a great job, by the way.
Thank you.
Yes. Chair Kotak, members of the committee, for the record, my name is Phil Donovan. I'm here on behalf of the Oregon Association of Naturopathic Physicians. And I do want to note for the record that this morning Dr. Wilson got a phone call saying that two other folks who were planning on being here couldn't be here for reasons beyond their control, and he ably filled in the gap. So well done, sir. Just before, a little history on Senate Bill 620, just before the legislative session kicked off, one of our member doctors was filling out a medical impairment form for the Department of Motor Vehicles, and then a little careful scrutiny of the statute recognized that the definition of physician only related to a medical doctor and did not include that of a naturopathic doctor. We brought this to the attention of the Department of Motor Vehicles, and they said, well, we don't have a problem with naturopathic doctor signing these forms, but and they offered to make the change by rule, but when we reviewed the statute, so legislative session's nearly upon us, let's just get this in the statute and make it a clean bill. So why this is important is that, you know, it's important that we recognize a lot of naturopathic physicians are the primary care physicians for a lot of patients in the state of Oregon. So first, in reviewing the naturopathic medicine statutes, I came across the fact that there's no definition of a naturopathic physician in our Oregon statutes. And if you look at the statutes for other medical professionals, take, for example, ORS 677.010, which is for medical doctors, it says a medical doctor is somebody who has a doctoral degree and is licensed to practice in Oregon. So it made sense to use this vehicle as an opportunity to put into Oregon statute that a naturopathic doctor is somebody who has a degree of a doctoral degree of naturopathic medicine and is licensed by the state of Oregon, and put that into Chapter 685. The Section 2 of the bill amends the Department of Transportation statute. See, currently the Department of Transportation relies on ORS 677.010, that's the medical doctor reference, for the purposes of filing this report. Interestingly, in that same statute, you'll note that it also allows a nurse or a physician's assistant to sign these forms. So what you would find in subsection 5 of the bill is that it expands the Department of Transportation definition of a physician to include a person who holds a degree of Doctor of Naturopathic Medicine and is licensed in Oregon. Section 3 of the bill maintains the consistency of definition of physician throughout Department of Transportation statute, and it's valuable, I think, to note that the definitions that you find in these two sections are specific to the Department of Transportation. So with that, we would respectfully request the support of the committee for moving this forward, moving this legislation forward.
Thank you. Dr. Wilson, did you want to add? I see we have your written testimony here on this one.
I don't have much more to add, Madam Chair, other than, once again, it's a matter of trying to seek some uniformity in language between statutes. That's always been our goal, to have it just like everybody else's bill. And we have confronted this problem in the past with the Department of Education that at one point tried to say we couldn't do school physicals. It was only medical doctors and doctors of osteopathy who were allowed to do that, and we had to fight that battle. And it's just another one of those battles trying to clarify it with a different state agency, and it seems fairly straightforward.
Thank you. Questions? Representative Bonamici.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I have a question for Mr. Donovan, and I don't know if this is a drafting issue or what, but in both Section 5, I'm looking at page 2 of Senate Bill 620 down at the bottom. In both the Section 5 and then down in the Section 1A below, it talks about who a physician is. It means a person who holds a degree of Doctor of Medicine or Doctor of, is it osteopathy or
osteopathy,
and is licensed, and a person who holds a degree of Doctor of Naturopathic Medicine. So I'm just trying to figure out why it's doctor or doctor and doctor rather than doctor or doctor or doctor.
I agree.
It should be the second one. And the same thing happens below. Well,
they're in different ORS chapters, and I'm wondering if that's why it's designed that way, because...
it's person A, person B, or person C.
Well, but they're in different...
Because the first two, the doctor of medicine and the doctor of
osteopathy, are in 6 and 7.
Are both. But it still doesn't make sense that it would be.
Yeah, you might construe it to mean they need to have both degrees.
Exactly.
Chair Kotak, Representative Bonamici, for the record, I don't think that that is the intent of the drafting of this. And as I understand it, what you're dealing with is adding that a person who holds a degree of naturopathic medicine also qualifies as a physician for Department of Transportation purposes.
I understand the intent. I just question the phrasing.
So I'm wondering, are you referring then, Representative Bonamici, on line 36? It might want to say...
Or a person.
Yep.
And the same thing with line 42. Chapter 677, or a person who holds a degree.
I agree.
I think so,
mm-hmm.
too.
We should ask
legislative counsel
before a work session. Yes.
Because the goal is one of the three.
Is right.
You're going to either be a DO,
right.
an MD, or an ND.
Right.
Okay. But I understand why you have them split up, because you need the differentiation.
That's correct.
We have eagle eyes on this committee. Eagle eyes. Other questions?
Yes.
Representative Freeman.
I'm looking at Section 4, line 32.
And section
4? I'm sorry, sub 4.
On page 2.
Line 32 on page 2.
Two things.
I mean, defining a physician now gets the physician to these other statuses. Are they only in this case? I mean, it talks about the state health officer. This is only about, I should know, I managed this section in the last. It's only relative to the reporting status, is that right? Not other functions of the state health officer.
That's correct. Chair Kotek, Representative Greenlick, as I understand the section to be specific to the state health officer's ability to establish eligibility, and you see that up in section or line 5 of page 2.
Thank you.
And just to confirm, folks in transportation were fine with this. They haven't had any comments.
Chair Kotek, that's correct. During the interim and then with the printing of the bill, our executive director of the association spoke with the state health officer and got a thumbs up.
Great. Other questions on 6.7? Other questions on the bills in general? Representative Bruce?
Thank you, Madam Chair. I realize that there might be some fine-tuning that we have to do on several of these. I wonder if there's a possibility, and maybe this is a question for staff, to make this an omnibus bill, since most of this is not controversial, and we're pushing a lot of paper here with six different bills. I don't know if it's feasible or not, but just raise the
four
if it matters.
Oh, in terms of saving us time on the floor? Or just
no, saving us time in general. I mean, these all affect the, I mean, they're all related to the same issue, and they're all fairly non, that I can tell, despite the Senate no votes, non-controversial. I'm wondering if it makes sense to do it in one bill, or if there's any benefit or not to doing it in one bill.
Madam Chair, Representative Bruin, I'll ask LC. I'm not sure, you know, what that would entail.
Okay.
If you have the Dashboard Amendment.
And I was going to say we probably would just look at 5, 6, 8, and 9, leave 7 by itself since there's an amendment. And then we could work that. But
well, and whether that creates a concurrence issue on the Senate.
Yeah, that's true. No, I'm not trying to make it more difficult. Yeah, so just ask the question.
No, good question. Well, thank you, gentlemen. Thanks for being here.
Thank you very much.
As soon as we'll probably work these soon, you just wait for the comments on the dash ones and the one bill.
They have pretty specific relating clauses.
Yes, they do. I'm going to close the public hearing on 205, 206, 207, 208, 209, and 620. And we have a few minutes before the floor session. Do you want to announce where we've decided on the full committee for next week? Colleagues, only one more day in this fabulous subcommittee on Thursday. And we might have to have chocolate for that.
You will have chocolate.
Yes, we will. We have
all of our fulls.
Yes, and we have several bills around physician's assistant Senate bills that we'll do on Thursday.
So next week, it's Monday, Tuesday, and Thursday?
Correct, 3 to 5.
Okay.
No subs. It's all going to be full, starting the 7th, which is Monday.
Okay, so Thursday's meeting is a sub.
Yes, Thursday we'll have our last sub committee on the paper.
This week we're on our normal.
We couldn't get
everybody on board quick enough. But yes, so next week we'll start with full. So we all don't have Fridays, except when you're on the floor.
Oh, that'd be great. Well, today was a romp through naturopathic physicians. Thursday is a romp through physicians assistants. And
we do have access tomorrow and then full this Friday.
All right. With that, we're adjourned.
Thanks.